Here we go, Parshas Vayechi, Tav Shin Pei. Freezing cold outside. Really appreciate everyone coming out in the cold. It's still cold, and we'll hopefully the Torah will warm us up, bring some heat to us, to our bodies and our neshamas together as we conclude Sefer Bereishis tonight in the Parshas Shirim, getting through 1/5 of Torah Shebichtav and these Shirim already. So we'll do an overview of the parsha. Before we do that, tonight's shir should be a schus refuah shleima for Tinok ben Hinda, a little baby that's still in the hospital and needs a continued refuah, and for refuah shleima for Betzal Ibn Chai Yecheved, and li'ilui nishmas David Yehuda ben Yosef mehar koyin. Shema should have an aliyah. So Parshas Vayechi really is the concluding parsha of Sefer Bereishis, and we know Yaakov Avinu lives the last 17 years of his life in Mitzrayim after he comes down with the brothers and they meet Yosef and they have the reunion. And he realized, you know, he's getting old. His days are coming to an end in this world in Olam Hazeh. It's time for his neshama to return back to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he makes Yosef promise that he's going to have a burial in Eretz Yisrael and not be buried in Mitzrayim. And Yosef made sure that that request was fulfilled. And then, when Yaakov was really getting ill, Yosef went to visit him, and his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, came along. Yaakov Avinu gave brachos to Menashe and Ephraim, and he elevated their status to that of the Shvatim. And we know he gave them the famous brachos, the words of Hamalach HaGolo Simi Kora, which became a famous song in recent years that we all love to sing, especially the children. And then Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and summons all the rest of the Shvatim come along, and he gives them each a different poetic kind of words of rebuke, but of Musar, but also like the Vibracha, sometimes cryptic and difficult to understand exactly what he meant to each Shevet, but each Shevet got a unique, special to them blessing from Yaakov before he left the world. And the Parsha concludes really. At the end, it says that Yaakov was 147 years old, and he, right before, again after he gave the brachos, he repeated his request to be buried in Eretz Kenan Maris Samach Pela with Leah and with the Avos and Imahos. And there was, after he passed away, after his time expired, there was a national mourning period in Mitzrayim, and then everybody marched Yaakov Avinu back up to Eretz Kenan. They had a Levaya there, came back to Mitzrayim, and Yosef's brothers were now in great fear. Yaakov's gone. So now Yosef's going to take revenge, right? No, that's not Yosef's style. But they were in fear. Yosef didn't do anything to them. He reassured them that he didn't have any ill feelings or hatred towards them. And the parsha here in Bereishis concludes in Sefer Bereishis with the tear of Yosef at the age of 110. And before he was Nifter, he kind of followed in his father's footsteps and asked to make sure that his brothers would promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, would eventually take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, out of the exile, to the Gullus they were in, and return them to Eretz Yisrael. And he asked to make sure that his brothers would, when the time would come, that they would take whatever was left of his body, the remains, and bring him to bring him across out of Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael. And that really is how Parshas Vayechi concludes. And next week, Meretz Hashem will be able to start a new Sefer, Sefer Shmos. But tonight, we'll focus on Parshas Vayechi. So to open up, if we look at source number one, it's an amazing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells us something fascinating. And if you never heard this before, it's mind-blowing. He says, "Miyom shenivru shamayim va'aretz lo haya adam choyle." From the time that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, no one ever got sick. "Ele im haya bederech u'bashuk haya utash v'haysa shmosi yitzas min chirov." Rather, what would happen? A person would just be walking, or he'd be in the shuk, he'd be buying food, an IND, and all of a sudden, poof, he'd sneeze, and his neshama would come out of his nostrils, and he'd die. People didn't get sick. Ad, until, Sheba Yaakov Avinu, says Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, until Yaakov Avinu came along, BK Shalzos Rachamim, V'amar Lafana Ribono Kol Olamim, until Yaakov Avinu came and asked for mercy from Hashem, he said, "Hashem, please don't take my neshama away. Don't let me leave this world without going ahead and commanding and my children, giving them his last words to them. Let me know when give me a simon. Let me be sick Let me know when my time is coming to an end so that I can go ahead and properly speak to my children some final words. And it was answered to him because the Pasuk tells us that someone told Yosef, your father is very sick. Please, you got to go visit him. His time is almost running out in this world. Lefikach, here's the key. I think about this all the time. Chayav Adam Lomar Vatishuso Chayim Shenepa Chamaves Hazeh Laor. There's different variations. But therefore, a person is obligated, says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, to say that when somebody sneezes, when you hear a sneeze, you have to say L'chaim, to life. Similar to what? God bless you. Like a word of bracha. Something nice to say. That the Nepa Chamaves, that what used to be this cause of death, or you stop breathing, I guess, for a second, or whatever happens when a person sneezes. I'm not a doctor. I don't know the biology exactly. But it used to be that someone would die from it. So you say L'chaim, you say God bless you, Gesundheit, Allah b'riut, some type of a bracha, of good life, of good health, that the Mavis turned into light, that he's okay, the person is survived the sneeze. So Samamish, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, until Yaakov Avinu, everybody died by a sneeze. All the Avos, the Imos before, they just went. Yaakov Avinu, we see from here actually the Derech HaTorah for somebody who doesn't really have a choice in this world, how they should go to Shemayim. People really don't choose how to die. But we see that Yaakov Avinu felt it was appropriate he should get sick. He should suffer. Even when a person's sick, you suffer. It's painful. It's not easy. It's not easy for him. It's nechola. It's not easy for the family. But nevertheless, you see from here the Derech HaTorah is that a person should know when they're going. A person should be aware. So that they can give some type of words, they should be able to say goodbye to the people around them. The people should be able to be making themselves, prepare themselves. And even though it might be more, less painful and easier in certain ways for a person to just collapse, chas v'shalom, or just go, that's not what Yaakov Avinu wanted. That's not what we see from here. And after that, we know that there's illnesses in the world before a person dies. And so, just a fascinating Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. On this concept of sneezing. It's really a Jewish concept that you say this God bless you thing right here in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It wasn't made up, in America a couple hundred years ago. Right. It's been around for a long time.
Not to deviate a bit off track here, but we see with Sarah Avinu.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like she by my sneeze.
Parcha Nishmaso. So we don't know what does that mean exactly, right? That her neshama just left her. Yeah. Right.
I mean, so can seem to interpret it as something like she died
of
shock.
Shock. Right. Maybe she sneezed when she was shocked. It doesn't say she sneezed.
It doesn't say.
Right. It's true. It's a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer.
It's true of everybody, so why should it say?
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't say
she was sick, though. So the point, right. So the main point, I think, is the instant death as opposed to the sickness. The sneezing is, he does mention it. So it's interesting. Right. But yeah, it's a good point. But sorry, Maynard, we don't necessarily see. Maybe there's a Medrash that does say, so many Medrashim out there, but who knows if there's a Medrash that does use a similar language by Sarah. Okay, so Breishis, Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Zayin, in Pasuk Kavches, the first Pasuk in the Parsha. And here we go. Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana, Vayim Yaakov Shnei Chayov Sheva Shanim Ve'arbaim Ma'as Shana. Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim for 17 years. That number is very familiar to us. Where else do we have 17 years recently? In the Torah a couple of parshas ago?
Yosef was 17
years old. So the first 17 years of Yosef's life were with Yaakov. And then Yaakov's last 17 years of his life were with Yosef when they reunited. So a lot of symbolism there, a lot of important ideas of him being Mechanechim in his youth and then being Mechanechim at the end. But he was 147, and those were the years of his life. And that's what the Pasuk says. So a lot's written about this. Rashi here says, Lama Parsha Zustum. Why is this Parsha Sosum? It's the only Parsha in the entire Torah that's Sosum, which means that if you look from Vayigash to Vayichi, there's no break at all. In a Sefer Torah, when you read and you go through the parchment, it just continues. It's very hard for a Baal Kuri sometimes to find where it starts because there's no Psucha, and there's no any break. Usually there's at least, I think, Nine spaces? There's a bunch of spaces between the parshas at a minimum. Sometimes it's a few lines. But here, for Vayechi, it's stuma. Why? It's the only parsha in the entire Torah. Says Rashi from Chazal, Lefi shechivan, shenifter Yaakov Avinu, nistemu einehem, v'libam sheyisrael, mitzaras hashibud sheyeschilu l'shabdam. Because now that Yaakov Avinu was nifter, the eyes and hearts of Yisrael, v'nei Yisrael, were closed, and their hearts were the libam shel Yisrael mitzaris hashibu sheschilu shaldam, because of the misery, the slavery that was coming on to them from the Egyptians. They were going to become slaves in Mitzrayim right after this. So it's interesting, first of all, because it's not like Klal Yisrael becomes avadim right after Yaakov's Patira. So there's a break, there's some time there. It doesn't happen immediately. So what exactly that connection is something to think about, what it means that Yaakov's Patira led to this Shibud. Maybe they lost hope or they knew it was coming, but it's something to think about. Davar acher shebikesh lagalos esaketz levanov v'nista mimenu. The second pshat Rashi offers is that Yaakov Avinu, why is it tzasim, why is it closed? There's no gap, there's no space between the parshios, because he wanted to be Megala, he wanted to reveal the end of time to his children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead, it was closed off from him, he wasn't able to relay that information over. Says Rosh Shimshon Rafa Hirsch in source number 3, we're going to give a couple explanations a little deeper. What does this mean exactly, this concept of Sasum, that the Vayichi is closed off, Parsha that's closed off. He says, Vayichi continues the proceeding directly, without the usual Parsha division. When one considers that the 17 years which are introduced hereby are really the only ones in which Yaakov lived a quiet, undisturbed life, so that in comparison with the previous years of his life, they can be considered as the real flowering of his life, we should have expected all the more so to find the relation of them to be brought into prominence by starting with a fresh chapter, right? When Yaakov Avinu asked a couple parshas ago in Parshas Vayeshev, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Bashalva, he's finally getting it. His last 17 years of his life, he was able to say, he was peace and quiet. He's in Galus, he's in Mitzrayim, in Goshen. But finally, that's what he wanted a while ago, Kavtzal of Rogzesha Yosef, then the whole story of Yosef happens. But now he finally has the peace and quiet that he's been waiting for his whole life. But the fact that this is not the case, the fact that there's no opening here to show that there's some space, there's some revach, there's some peace and quiet in Yaakov Avinu's life, teaches us that though these 17 years, I think I should say, certainly are to be reckoned with the rest of his life, they count as part of his life, nationally they formed a lesser important part of it. It was rather the troubled years of Yaakov Avinu's life in which the test had to be gone through, in the midst of the bitterest fate of a Yaakov to be worthy of acquiring the name of Yisrael, that were those in which Yaakov won his everlasting national importance, to which the 17 years that follow here from form just a happier awarding conclusion. Explains Rosh Shimshon Rafa Hirsch that the 17 years aren't the ikar of Yaakov Avinu's life. It's susim. It's the end of his life. It's nice, he had it. What was Yaakov Avinu really made up of? The first 130 years. The 130 years where he had the tzaros of Lavan, he had the tzaros of Esav, he had the tzaros of Yosef, tzaros of Dina. That's how Yaakov Avinu became a Yaakov Avinu. That's how he became one of the Avos, the Bechir Sheba Avos, the Mita Shlema. It was through the Nisyonos, through the challenges, that he went ahead, as Rav Hirsch writes beautifully, that he's worthy of having the name Yisrael, and where he won his everlasting national importance, to which this of Yaakov Avinu. It wasn't the 17 years of peace and quiet at the end of his life. That's what the closed off. It's not. It's teaching us the fact that the last 17 years are closed off. If we look in source 4, it's going to be a very different idea now. So the Archaim HaKadosh, he says as follows. He asks a couple questions. He says, first of all, Tzarech Ladas, Lama Hutzrach Loimar Masha Chaya Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Why does the Torah need to tell us that he lived in Eretz Mitzrayim? We know he's in Eretz Mitzrayim. Pasuk says, Ve'echi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Where else would he didn't go anywhere. It's been there, he was there at the end of Vayigash. So why does it tell us that? Vod Kasha Lo Yatzarech Lomar, Elav Ayime Yime Yaakov, Kuf Mem Zayin, Vani Yodel Fi Yecheshbon. Says also, I don't need the Torah to tell me 147 years is how old he is. I know all these years. Once you tell me 17 years, I know he was 130 right before this. So now he's 147. We could do simple math. This is arithmetic. Second graders, third graders can do it. 130 plus 17 is 147. Why does the Torah have to tell us? And now Yaakov is 147 years old. Also, why does it have to tell us Shnei Chayav, the years of his life, instead of just saying that the days of his life? What's the emphasis there? So he explains beautifully in a very different derech and a different way, almost the opposite way of Rav Hirsch. V'ulai ki letzad seichel yimei Yaakov lo nach v'lo shakat Kimisha shenolad nolad sitna. Ve'adayin lo shaka shimsho. So Yaakov Avinu, when he never had peace and quiet his whole life. Right? When he was born, he always had something against him. The sun never set. It was always something that was in his way. Amad lo shaka shimsho. Amad lavan ve'ele mosif l'ralo. He always had troubles. V'rachav hukam atzar shal dina. Then he had dina. Ve'od lo yavo v'rogzav avedas Yosef. Then Yosef. So what's the Torah telling us? This is what the Torah is telling us. That Yaakov lived for 17 years. Elu hayu chaya velo kodem. These 17 years were his life. These 17 years, the exact opposite idea almost, if you're trying to fall harsh. That these 17 years were Yaakov Avinu's chayav, not beforehand. V'samach l'zeh omro, v'yihi yimei Yaakov shnei chayav, lirmo shehein hinei, hayu yomav shehayu lo v'mechiyas. These were the years, finally, where he had some chiyas in his life. He was able to live without worrying, without having stress, without having anxiety, without having a problem facing him. He finally, the last 17 years of his life, the Torah is emphasizing here, Yaakov Avinu gets to enjoy. He gets to go ahead and just be with his family in peace and enjoy his children, enjoy his grandchildren, be learning Torah. This is the ikkar of Yaakov Avinu's life, is what the Arachaim is saying. V'omro v'yihi me Yaakov perushim osam yedzayin shana shnei chayav perush shehaya lo bahem chayim. What is it that it says, Yaakov, that these 17 shana, these were the years that he had chayim. These were the vayichi of Yaakov Avinu. These 17 years. V'nim shechasim Yaakov, yima shalamatim yimena yime Yaakov shva v'gan. So there Chaim HaKadosh says, these 17 years of his life, and think about it also, where was he? He wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. He was in Galus, which is... Mamish, this is the parsha of like going into Galus, going really the last couple parshas, but this parsha, Yaakov Avinu passes away, Yosef passes away. This is the beginning of really, like Rashi says, the beginning of the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu, the 17 years of life that he lived according to Aruch Chaim happened where? In Goshen, right next to in Mitzrayim, not in Eretz Canaan, not in Eretz Yisrael. And if we look in source number 5, that's where Rav Biederman writes. He writes from the Tzemach Tzedek Tzatzal asked his grandfather, Balatanya. He said, Yaakov was living in the impure land of Mitzrayim. How could those years possibly be counted as the best years of his life? What is the Aruch Chaim telling us? Those years in Gullus are the best years of his life? The Balatanya replied, Yaakov studied Torah in Mitzrayim. Because we know he sent Yehuda down beforehand, Rashi explains. It was in order to set up, based on Talmud, that they should have Torah that comes forth from there. And said the Balatanya, where there's Torah, one can live anywhere, and his life can be good. His life is good there. If you have Torah, you could be anywhere in the world. You're in Yadal Rama Shalacha, doesn't matter where you are. You have the Torah HaKadosha, you have the Ribbono Shalom with you. You could be in Galus, you could be in Erva Sa'aretz, in the worst, the most impure place in the world, like Mitzrayim. But you could be living the best life and most amazing life, like Yaakov Avinu did in the last 17 years of his life, according to Aruch Chaim. A beautiful idea. Power of Torah, the power of going ahead and making the most of Gullus, even in what might not seem like the most optimal situation, but turning it into an amazing situation because you have the Torah HaKadosha, and you learn Torah, you involve yourself in Torah and Mitzvos, and that's what Yaakov Avinu did, and that's why these years, he didn't have Tzaros, but he had Torah with him the whole time, and were the best years of his life, according to the Aruch Chaim.
So did the Aruch Chaim actually say that the last 17 years of Yaakov's life, Mitzrayim, were his best years? Is that... his opinion, or Yaakov felt that way as well? Because Yaakov clearly tells Yosef that when I die, I don't want to be buried here.
Right. So it's not saying Mitzrayim is a good place necessarily, but Yaakov Avinu could say, I made my life, like in my life, these were the best years for me as a person. I enjoyed these years.
Right. I understand Yaakov's much. Shalom, no, I understand, right.
Right. But you're right. I mean, he didn't like Mitzrayim. He had no connection to the land.
Right.
He was Erev Asaret still. Mitzrayim didn't become special to him, but from the Torah's perspective, the fact that it's the parsha is also called Vayechi of Yaakov, it could also be that, right? Tzadikim, Misasim, Kurim Chaim, that even after they died, Tzadikim are called Chaim. Yaakov is with us in his base medrash now. Here we are learning about him, talking about him. He's not gone at all. He's totally alive and with us. So it could be, right, that I think the Aruch Chaim is saying, he's saying that he thinks that's the pshat. I don't know if Yaakov Avinu would necessarily agree. It's the exact opposite of what Rav Hirsch said. Rav Hirsch said, no, it was all the tzaras. These 17 years are sasum, And the last 17 years, they're not that important. It's the 130 years that made him the Yaakov Avinu that we know, not the 17 years. We'd have to ask Yaakov Avinu. In source number 6, Rav Tzadok has a very, another pshat, the third pshat. He says, Parsha Zustuma, this parsha is sasim, it's closed off. The Razal Nasnu Tam, Neymah Parsha Zustuma, the Kulam Divrei Emes. He says they're all true. The reasons Chazal give, whether it's the Shibud Mitzrayim or it's the, he wanted to be Megalus, the Kates, and the Ribbono Shalom took it away from him. V'yesh Lomar Gam Kein Tam L'Stimas. This is an amazing, amazing Rav Tzadok that we need to hold on to, especially in today's day and age. So there's another reason for the stima. Ki be'emes ha'inyan hazeh she'yushlam Yaakov b'kdushasu daika b'mitzrayim v'lo ba'aretz. So this connects to what you're saying, Brian, a little bit. In truth, the shlemus of Yaakov, the kedusha, his completion, the final years of his life, when he attained the highest level, we assume, I guess, at the end of his life, at 147, happened where? B'dafka in Mitzrayim, and not in Eretz Yisrael. V'shi hiskalav yagil olam klal ha'knesses Yisrael, Nefashos Kedushos Mechanim, the Kabbalah's Torah, and when Klai Yisrael were prepared and received the Torah, where did it happen? Not in Eretz Yisrael. It happened by Har Sinai, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Daika b'chutz la'aretz v'lo ba'aretz. Yaakov Avinu ends his life and gets his highest level of Kedusha where? In Golus, in chutz la'aretz. Bnei Yisrael gets the Torah where? When they're holy on this very high level, that they're able to receive the Torah from at Har Sinai, in chutz la'aretz. V'shia gemar ha-bria gam kein b'makom hazeh. And the end of the bria happened there, because I guess the purpose of all creation was the Torah. So the entire creation, according to Rav Tzadok, a Chassidish idea, but the entire creation culminated, it ended with the Torah being given to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. Then the creation happened in Golos as well. Heimin yalim, so he says as follows, Heimin yanim stumim v'ne'elami misecha ha'adam lavinam. These ideas, why these things happened in Golos, not in Eretz Yisrael, we can't understand. What this means exactly, Klai Yisrael was so holy that that's where they received the Torah by Har Sinai, and Yaakov Avinu reached elevated levels of Kedusha and Goshen, and not in Eretz Canaan, but by Mitzrayim. They're ne'elamim misechel ha'adam. They're above the grasp of the intellect. The Amru ma'hava hafsakos, he explains now. Ma'yu hafsakos mishamashos. Why do we have breaks in the Torah? Why does the Torah have psuchos and stumos? Why do we have those breaks between different parshios and within parshios between different sections? So the answer, the Torah's Kohanim tells us, Litain revach l'moshe l'zbonein ben parsha l'parsha, is to give a person space to go ahead and contemplate, to think about between each parsha, about what to digest, what just happened, what just transpired, to go ahead and take it in. Let him have some breathing space. Give him some room. But since this inyan of Yaakov Avinu living his last 17 years in Golus and attaining the highest level of Kedusha in those last 17 years when he was nifter at 147 of Shlemus, it's so deep that we can't even understand what it means. He's stuma. It's closed. Meaning what? It's closed off from us understanding. We can't understand it. It's too deep. The Akoponim Ramaz Lanu Be'inyan Hazeh. Shelo yomas levaveinu me'asher anachnu be'ikvasa de Meshicha uvechol dor ha'mish nefashas miskatanim ich niske lehu'ula. Nevertheless, even though this is the case, person shouldn't, their hearts shouldn't go ahead and feel that we're in the ikvasa de Meshicha and that all the generations, so you read this Hadoros, and how are we going to go ahead and have the Geula? Ki Roma Nachnu Mashakar L'Avaseinu B'Galusim. Why? Because we see what happens to our Avos in Galus. In Galus B'Dafka, V'Daika B'Galus. Specifically in Galus, Yigil L'Cholak Dushos, Ki Kein Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach. There's a certain level that a person says Rav Tzadok, and Brian, maybe what I said before according to Rav Tzadok is different. That there are levels that a person can attain in Galus, that the Avos attained in Galus, that the Ribbono Shalom wants them to attain that they can't necessarily attain in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what that means exactly. I can't explain it. It's susum to me. But that, I think that's what he's saying. But daika begalus hegiul lechol hakdushos. Only in galus can they go ahead and get to those levels kedushos. Ki kein ratzon Hashem Yisbarach. And that's the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shamati b'shem Rav HaKadosh min parshischa. You heard from Ribbonim Zatzal. And this, I have no idea what it means. She'av she'anofashos me'akdan mechol dor. That even though Miskatanim, that even though there's a concept of Riyudos Hadaros in each generation, Mikomakom Hanakuda Shebelev, the spark or the focal central point in a person's heart, in Klai Yisrael's heart, Nitar b'chol dor v'dor yoser. That becomes purified more and more with each and every generation that comes. That's how he concludes. But what does sasim mean? Sasim, according to Rav Tzadok, means we can't understand exactly what it means. We don't know what it means. Sasim teaches us that we don't know. We can't understand, we can't intellectually comprehend what it means that these last 17 years of Yaakov's life were brought him to this elevated level of the of his completion to 147 years of shleimus in his life, and the Amita Shleima, and they were in such great years. He was in Galus, but it happened in Galus. And Klai Yisrael got the Torah in Galus. What? How? What? Why? Well, in Galus, Shebin Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. Sussum to us. We can't understand exactly how that happens in Galus. That's the Pritzadik. That's your Tzadik. Okay, so that's all for tonight for Vayechi. We'll move on a little bit from the first pasuk now. We know that Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and Yosef brings his sons to him, and he gives them the brachos, and it's mamish a whole story, a whole episode here. The brachos to Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe was older than Ephraim. Yosef puts Menashe on the right, Ephraim on the left, and Yaakov Sichel as Yodav. He switches his hands. He gives Ephraim, puts his right hand on Ephraim, his left hand on Menashe. He gives them brachos. Rashi explains why. Because he saw who was going to come out of them, and then saw that Ephraim is going to be greater. Yosef tries to correct his father. His father says, no, 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 you think I'm old, and I don't know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. This is what I intend to do. This is what I mean to do. How often do we, you know, try to correct our parents, especially when we're kids, or Yosef's not a kid here, but we think our parents, you know, not sure what they're doing exactly, but they know exactly what they're doing. And that's their plan. They're not making a mistake. So Rashi here says, and we're going to learn a beautiful piece from the Chizkuni, really Meyerdik idea. So Rashi here, he quotes on Perek Mem Ches, when Yaakov responds to Yosef, Yadati b'ni Yadati, I know that Menashe is the Bechor. So he goes ahead and says as follows, says the Chizkuni. Go to the, in source number 9, the end of the line 1, the first line, Vayashes HaRosh Ephraim, so at the end, Sichel is Yadav. He switched his hands. What else does Sichel sound like? What word? Sechel. Sounds like Sechel. Sounds like a brain. Your brain. Intellect. Wisdom. Sichel is Yadav. Asa inyano beheskel v'chachma. What Yaakov Avinu did when he says Yadati b'ni Yadati, it was done with wisdom. Shemin ha-din ha-yelo l'hapich ha-banim l'fi ma-shahaya b'dayto l'asei sefrayim l'minom na-shah smolo. Because min ha-din, what should have Yaakov done? Yosef set them up. Menashe is on the right, Ephraim's on the left. Yaakov switches his hand. What should have Yaakov done?
Switch the kids.
Put Ephraim on the right, Menashe on the left. What is he doing crossing his hands? The whole, convoluted way of giving brachos. Just make it straight. Make it like it should be. Says the Chizkuni beautifully. No. Yaakov Avinu did it. Sichlas Yada. He did it exactly with wisdom, with chachma, with brilliance. B'yadav shelo ratzel lebayish Menashe. He didn't want to embarrass Menashe. Ki hu haya habachor. Because he was the bechor v'tzarech lachlo kavod k'tzas. And he needed to give him a little bit of kavod. Says the Chizkuni. Why didn't he just switch them? Imagine the busha and the embarrassment it would have caused to the older one, to Menashe.
Right.
Yaakov Avinu knew it was so difficult for him already. Sichos Yadav, he used brilliance and wisdom, a tactic. I'm going to keep him in his spot. He's going to stay on the right. I'll just switch my hands. I'm not going to make him move out of his place to somewhere else. Out of kavod for him, because he's still the oldest, and not to embarrass him. Not to go ahead and make it even harder for him than it already is. What a lesson from this Chizkuni. How many times in life do situations come up where a person has to go ahead and do something that's very difficult to do? News to deliver, to communicate, that's not easy to share with someone else. A person, an employer, needs to let go of an employee because, for whatever reason, finances, they just can't keep them on the payroll anymore, and they need to tell them that they're not going to have a job. But how do they do it? Do they do it in a way where it makes it easier, as easy as possible, and as painless as possible, even though there's pain there, like the Chizkuni is saying, for the employee? Or do they go ahead and really, you know, make it really difficult and make it painful for them? Yaakov Avinu teaches us, even when you need to go ahead and do something that's painful to somebody else, try to mitigate that pain. Try to reduce the sense of pain that's going to happen to them. An employer needs to lay off an employee. Okay, go ahead and give them time to find a new job. Try to hook them up with some of your contacts that maybe they can get a job somewhere else. Use your network to go ahead and help them. Give them a nice severance package if you can afford to at least let them have some cushion for until they find another job. What about shiduchim? Person needs to break up with somebody? Yeah, you could do it in a nasty way and say, not for me, you know, she's ugly. He's ugly. He has terrible midos. Or you go ahead and you can say in a kavadik way. It's not easy to end a relationship. It's not easy to end after dating for a little bit or even a few dates. It's hurtful to someone, especially if one person wants to keep going out. How is it communicated? Yaakov Avinu is teaching us that when a person has to go ahead and deliver or do something that's difficult to others, and it's going to happen in life to all of us, it happened here from Yaakov Avinu to his own grandchildren. Don't go ahead and do it in a very painful way, if possible. Try to mitigate the pain. Don't switch Menashe and Ephraim's place completely. Sichas Yadav. He just switched his hands. I'll do the switching. I won't make them move. They could stay where they are. Won't be as difficult and a lack of a kavod for Menashe by doing so. Amazing chizkuni and an insight into life that we learn from Yaakov Avinu. If we look in source number 10, this is one of the brachos. So Yaakov tells Yehuda in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Ches, Yehuda ata yoducha achicha yadcha ba'erif aivecha ishtachulcha b'nei avicha. Yehuda, your brothers are going to yoducha. There, some say, some of Farshim explained that, you know, you're going to be greater than them, or you're going to be known to them, that you're going to go ahead and they're going to acknowledge you. Your hand will be at the nape of your enemies, and your father's sons will prostrate themselves to you. What is this lashon of Yehuda? Ata yoducha achicha. Your brothers will acknowledge you, Yehuda. The Das Zekenim in Baalai Toisos in source number 11 quotes a lot of pshatim, but the one pshat underlined says as follows: Davar acha yoducha achicha lefisha kol Yisrael nekroim Yehudim al shemecha. Yaakov Avinu's bracha to Yehuda is yoducha achicha, that your brothers will acknowledge you, you'll become known amongst them. All of Klal Yisrael in the future is going to be known by your name. And what a prophecy. What are we called? Yehudim. We're Jews. What are we called in English? Jewish. We're Jews. Where does that come from? Yehuda. It's Yehuda in English. What were we back in Europe? I don't know, Yudin. Yid. Right? That's all from Yehuda. So what's the deeper idea of what's so important that Yehuda, out of all the Shvatim, is the name that Klal Yisrael goes ahead and is called after? So if we look, when Leah had Yehuda back in Parshas Vayetze in source number 12, she says, Perikov Tes Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vatar Od Vatele Ben Vatomer Hapam Odes Hashem Akin Karashim Yehuda Vatam Od Miledes. Hapam Odes Hashem. This time, I'm going to thank Hashem. Rashi says, Hapam Odes Shenatalti Yosem Echelki Meata Yesh Li Lahodos. She says, Hashem gave me more than my portion, so I'm going to go ahead and give thanks to him. I'm going to go ahead and give gratitude. What does that mean? So Yehuda, we know, was the fourth son that Leah Imenu had. There were four mothers, 12 Shvatim. She knew that with Rechakoy. She knew there were only supposed to be three for each one. She got her fourth. Natalti Yaisim Echelki. Ribbono Shel Olam, you gave me more than I deserved. I had just had a fourth son. I'm only supposed to have three. Each mother should have three because there's four mothers. 4 times 3 is 12. You just gave me my 4th. I'm going to have one more than someone else. Me'ata yesh li l'holos. Says the Chiddush Arim, first Ger Rebbe, in source number 14. This is why we're called Yehudas. You want to know why we're called Jews? You want to know why we follow Yehuda's name? It's what Leah said. But what did Leah really mean? Leah meant the following. V'chol echad Yisrael nikar Yehudi al shemo. We're all called Yehudi by the name of Yehuda. I'm not sure what it stands for. Al shevach v'hodaya k'mo shekosev hapam odes Hashem. Yehuda's name represents shevach and hodah, praise and thanks, that this time Leah thanked Hashem. Says the Ger Rebbe, shekol Yehudi tzarech l'da shekol ma'ashu lokech harezu yoser mimah shemagila. Every Jew needs to know that whatever he takes, whatever he gets, whatever he has given to him in this world is more than he's entitled to, is more than he deserves. Just like Leah's attitude when Yehuda was born. Yehuda perishash netati yoser michalko hainu zehu yoser michalko hamagila. This is greater than the portion that I deserve. A Jew has to know, every Jew has to know, that every single thing they have in life is a gift from God, is a precious benevolence and kindness of the Ribbono Shel Olam that we did nothing to earn or deserve. Mamish, we did nothing. Nothing. Ma'ashiv la'ashem kol tag meluva alai. There's nothing we did to earn it and to deserve it. It's nothing is magili. I didn't go ahead I'm not entitled to anything. I'm not entitled to sit here right now and be breathing and alive. I'm not entitled to go ahead and be sitting and talking to you, to everyone, and to be sharing Torah and speaking Torah with each other. What did I do to deserve that? Nothing. That's what Yehuda represents. Hapam oides Hashem shenatalti yoyz mechak, a Yid's attitude every second of every day of every life needs to be this attitude of Yehuda, of that I have more than I could have ever asked for, Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't deserve anything, but you gave me everything. And thank you for that. Ode, hoda, a thanks to Hashem for that. A beautiful taich on what it means of why Jews are called Yehudim, and what the pasuk means of Yehuda ata yoducha achicha. So in the last couple minutes, there's a lot of makaros, so we'll go through them. But we learn from this week's parsha the inyan of a father giving a bracha to his sons and daughters on Friday night. Right? There's a strong custom to give a bracha, and it's similar to what Yaakov Avinu said. He said, "B'chay Racha Yisrael," that through you or by you, Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael is going to go ahead through Menashe and Ephraim and have a bracha. So we'll go through a couple of sources. Why Menashe and Ephraim? What was unique about them? And where does this come from exactly, and why specifically on Shabbos? So if we look in source number 15, and we'll go through it quickly, we'll say it outside, you have the sources inside if you'd like to read them afterwards. The Maver Yabok, a sefer written in the 1600s, he says, the reason we do it on Shabbos is because on Shabbos, you have an Ishami Yasera, both the father, the giver of the bracha, and it could be a Rebbe, it could be anyone, give anyone brachas on Shabbos at any time, but the giver and this minhag of the father, the giver and the receiver, the father and the son or daughter, have this elevated neshama, this higher level. So the bracha is on a higher level on Shabbos. And there's also no satan on Shabbos, he quotes. So satan's not there to try to push away the bracha and not let the bracha go through. If you look in source number 16, the Sefer HaChaim quotes that on Shabbos, the pipes of brachos, tzinorei habrachos, are psuchimbo. They're open on Shabbos. And that's why a father gives these brachos specifically on Shabbos. During the week also, he writes, a father gets angry at his son. Get upset at him. He didn't go to sleep on time. He didn't clean up after himself. He didn't do his homework. Shabbos comes. That anger goes away. You want to start fresh. You don't want to chas v'shalom curse your son or say anything. So you give him a bracha. Says the Chasam Sofer in source number 17 that during the week we're all distracted and all over the place. We're running to make a parnasa. We're running to just deal with our lives. Shabbos is different. Shabbos, we have a break. During the week, our kavana is lacking. Shabbos comes, says the Chasam Sofer, we're pnuyim u'mechuvanim b'tfilasam. We have the ability to go ahead and to have proper intent and kavana when we give a bracha to somebody, proper intent when we daven. And that's why specifically on Shabbos, says the Chasam Sofer, we go ahead and we give the bracha to our children. And in source number 18, the Imre Noam quotes that, minog tzadik mahakadmoinim, he quotes, is levarech es b'nei b'yom haShabbos. Why? Because everybody who's a Shomer Shabbos, kil chaso, mochlin lo akol avanosav. They're forgiven. You're forgiven for all your sins if you keep Shabbos properly. So what are you like? A tzaddik. Become like a tzaddik on Shabbos. You're in the bechina of a tzaddik, mochlin al kol avanosav. And when you're in the bechina of a tzaddik, a tzaddik, geizner, a kadosh baruch hu mekayim. So since you're on that level, you're on a level of a tzaddik, during the week you're not on that level. You're the source of all the brachos. You go ahead and that's the time that you give the brachos to your children. But why Menashe and Ephraim? Why not Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, like we do for Sarah, Rachel, and Leah, for the girls? What was so special about Menashe and Ephraim? So the Chochmas HaMitzban, in source number 19, says what we were discussing before. Menashe's on the right, Ephraim's on the left, Sichel es Yadav, right? What's Menashe's reaction? What does he do? Nothing. He stands there, and he just takes it. He's the oldest brother. He's being slighted. His kavod is being totally just rocked in front of him, and he doesn't get jealous, he doesn't get angry, he doesn't get upset, he doesn't say a boo, he doesn't say a thing, he just takes it. And the bracha we give to our children is that they should be like Menashe and Ephraim, just like Menashe didn't react to Ephraim, there was no jealousy, there was no hatred, there was no anger, there was no being upset that he was being slighted and his kavod was being slighted. They should be like that too. They should never be angry and jealous if they don't get the proper kavod. If you look at number source, number 21, So the Yam Simcha quotes that Yisimcha Elokim Herachaim V'Nashe. So we know, right, that Yaakov Avinu went ahead and Roa Be'Ephraim V'Nashe She'af Apishem Hador She'achar Bonav Ava Misnagim Kibonav Ulo Yardu Madrigosam Ela Misnagim Kedor Shalafneim. He gave them bracha Kiruvim Shimon Yuli. He mamish elevated them one generation up. And we know it was a concept degree, this Hadaros. But Yaakov Avinu went ahead and gave the bracha to Menashe and Ephraim. They were on such a level that there was no Yeridus Hadaros. They literally went up. There was no generation gap between the Shvatim and Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim became like Shvatim. So we also give the bracha to our children that way as well, that they should be like they should not be a Yeridus Hadaros. They should outshine us. They should be on a higher level than us. They should do better than us. They shouldn't ever, you know, go down Chas V'Shalom, just like Menashe and Ephraim didn't go down. And to conclude, we'll skip over that. It was Nine Latar, but it's a beautiful piece in source number 22, which Rosaratskin talks about that they were the first to live in Gullus and keep the Torah in Gullus, and that's the bracha we're giving to our children. But Rabbi Sachs in source number 23, which is the last 30 seconds, says beautifully, he was asked, why Menashe and Ephraim? Why is this the bracha we give to our children as opposed to anything else? He said that all other brachos in the Torah are from fathers to sons. This is the only bracha you find between a father and grandchildren. Yaakov's blessings to Ephraim and Menashe is the only instance of Torah of a grandparent blessing a child. And between grandparents and grandchildren, there's no tension. There's only purely love. There's only Ava. Parents and children sometimes have tension. Parents can get upset at their children very often. Parents can go ahead and really just not get along. They had a bad week together. They're talking, but like, there's a distance. There's no distance between grandparents. It's pure love. And so that love that the grandparents have for their children, for the grandchildren, we're saying to our children. We say that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. We should have that relationship with our own children, like the grandparents have with their children, that tension shouldn't be there so much. There shouldn't be tension. Shkoyach, everyone, on coming. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos. And thanks for coming on this freezing cold night. Hopefully the Torah warmed us all up.